So Philippians 3, please, and reading verse 13. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And we trust that God would bless the reading of these verses. We've been noting the ways in which we as believers can be looking to Christ in this chapter of Philippians 3. And in each of the messages that I've given on this chapter, I've tried to focus on one particular reference to the Lord Jesus in the verses. And so in a previous message, we considered the reference to Christ in verse 12, apprehended of Christ Jesus, as we would be looking to Christ as our, not just our Savior, but as our Lord and as our Master. And he's the one who's laid hold upon us in salvation. So the next reference to Christ comes in verse 14. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this verse 14 is very much what the verses are all leading up to in this passage, as we would now be looking to Christ as our ultimate prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we'll come shortly to verse 14. But firstly, there in verse 13, Paul speaks there about his one spiritual priority. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have laid hold. So there is no complacency being expressed here by Paul. He doesn't consider himself to have apprehended this fully, in the sense that he hasn't got as far spiritually as he wants to be. And so he's expressing the fact that there's still that desire for progress. There's still that need for progress. And that would surely, of course, be true of all of us whilst we're still here in this world, in the body here, and on this side of the glory that lies before us. So he expresses that he's not complacent in his spiritual life. But then he says this, but one thing. And I'm omitting the italicized words when I say that, just to put emphasis on the idea of one singular spiritual priority. But one thing. This was his number one spiritual objective. This was his one ambition. And we can see here how he was absolutely single-minded in relation to it. And I suppose we should ask ourselves, well, do I have such ambition for spiritual progress in my life, in the way that Paul is expressing here? Can I narrow everything in my life down to one thing alone, which is, as these verses have been bringing to us, this thought of being more conformed to Christ day by day, in view of his soon coming again for us? And so he says, forgetting indeed those things which are behind. Not only putting behind him what he was before he was saved, before his conversion, the things that he outlined earlier in the passage in verses 5 to 7. He's already written that all off as a singular loss at the time of his conversion. But also, forgetting those things which are behind, what he has been previously in his Christian life, in his past life of service and Christian experience. And it's not just any past failures that Paul is putting behind him in this way. I think it's also the past successes and the achievements and the glory, the glories that he's seen as he's served the Lord. He doesn't want to live on the back of any past progress. He doesn't want to just rest on that. He wants new and fresh experiences of God working with him and working through him. And so he says, forgetting indeed those things which are behind. Now, we know that doesn't mean that Paul never thought anything about his past experience. We know from the book of the Acts that he frequently thinks of that Damascus Road experience, his conversion. He recounted that before men on a number of occasions, that eternity-changing moment in his life, a moment of illumination. You remember he talks about the light beyond the brightness of the noonday sun that shone around him. And the eyes of his understanding were enlightened to the truth of the risen, glorified Lord Jesus. He never forgot about that past experience of coming to Christ for salvation. That was when Christ apprehended him. That was when Christ laid hold of him, as he says there in verse 12. But just in the immediate context of these verses here in Philippians 3, when he says, forgetting those things which are behind, he is indicating that as far as himself was concerned, there's no complacency based upon previous spiritual accomplishments. He kept concentrating with this single-mindedness, and he kept focused with all his spiritual energy on this one thing, this one great priority. He never lost sight of it. He never deviated from it. He never allowed anything in the world around him to distract him from it. He never allowed worldly distractions to obstruct this one singular thing in his Christian life. And it was all centered upon knowing more of the glorious person of Christ and becoming more like the Lord Jesus. And so he says there at the end of verse 13, he says, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul is saying here, I'm not going to spend my time looking back on how far I may have come. I'm more occupied with how far I still want to go. And as we said, he has desires for these new and fresh experiences of the Lord Jesus. And so we can think about the spirit of the apostle here, and we can think about ourselves, and we can just challenge our hearts. Well, what is the height of my ambition spiritually as a child of God? Am I discontented with my past in a positive way, so that I will redeem whatever time there is that lies ahead, God willing, so that I might make more progress in conformity to the person of Christ, so that I might be living consistent with those whose, as verse 20 says, whose conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven. So we reach out for that. We reach forth, Paul says, reaching forth with outstretched hands, with a real consuming spiritual desire to apprehend more of Christ, to lay hold more upon that for which Christ also has laid hold upon us, as he says there in verse 12. And so in verse 14, he's looking now to Christ as our ultimate prize. He's looking ahead to the future. And he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he was pressing forward towards this ultimate goal. And that word press in verse 14, it's interesting to notice that, and somewhat surprisingly, it's the same word in the original text as Paul used in verse 6, when he said there about himself before his conversion, he said, I was persecuting the church. It's the same word, persecuting. So that, before he was saved, what was he doing? He was pressing upon the church in such a violent and destructive way. He was pressing, he was persecuting the church. And now he's using that same word now in relation to his present desires. And so you can see this great work of grace in Paul's life. You can see the zeal, the energy that he has spiritually. All of that zeal that he had before he was saved in zealously persecuting the believers in the Lord Jesus, members of the church. All of that zeal, all of that energy is now characterizing him spiritually in his singular pursuit of this prize, as he would press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And obviously the metaphor that Paul is applying here is one that he uses in quite a number of places in his writings. He's thinking of himself as the athlete. He's the runner. And he's going flat out in the race. And when that finishing line is in sight, there can be no looking back at the race that's been run. The athlete needs to keep looking down the track, needs to keep pressing on, needs to keep focused on the finishing line and what will be beyond that finishing line. Because what is beyond that finishing line in the race of faith for every believer will be this final prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The idea of the high calling is the upward calling, the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. So this has the final consummation of our salvation in view. This is the ultimate finish of the race of faith for every believer. When we finally get to the glory, we're going to be exalted in heavenly glory with Christ. And we're then going to have complete physical and moral conformity to his glorious person. And so even now, we're to be looking to Christ in this focused way as we think of our ultimate prize. It's often been said, as believers, we're not looking for the undertaker, but we're looking for the uptaker. This upward calling, this calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. And what a moment it will be when the Lord comes again. And verses 20 and 21 of this chapter describe how he's going to come forth from heaven as our Savior. He's going to change our bodies of humiliation, vile bodies, bodies that are weak presently, frail, subject to decay, sickness, suffering, and our bodies are going to be fashioned like the Lord's own body of glory. What a moment that's going to be, when we're going to be fitted physically for that sphere of heavenly glory that we're going to enjoy for eternity with Christ. What a prize. What a prospect, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and to be brought to complete conformity to the glorified Christ. That is why God has set his purpose upon us. Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. With what purpose? To be conformed to the image of God's Son. And so this is the prize that lies before us. It will be a calling on high, because you remember Christ's promise in John 14 is that he will come again to take us to be with himself. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where is he? He's the risen man who's exalted to the very highest pinnacle of heavenly glory. And he's going to come to take us to be with himself there, a calling on high, inviting his own to be with him in that place of supreme heavenly exaltation. So this is a wonderful prospect for every believer. But let us also be challenged now by this future prospect that lies before us. I think that's what Paul is bringing to us here. He was living his life pressing toward obtaining this prize, and he was deeply exercised that he would make spiritual progress towards it, even while he was living now here in this world. I think we mentioned on a previous occasion in relation to the verses in this chapter that the challenge of the passage is that the reality of what we are going to be in a coming day, when we will be fully conformed to the person of Christ, the reality of that should make us have earnest desires to be more like him now. So our future destiny should be our present ambition and desire. That's what Paul is expressing in these verses. And so surely this prospect that lies before us, it cheers our hearts to think about it. A prize that lies before us. And yet when we think about prizes, and we think about prize givings, we invariably have the thought of a reward that we're deserving of. You know, something that we've put in the work, and we've attained the standard, and we've merited the prize. And some commentators do actually link verse 14 with the judgment seat of Christ. And it is certainly true that immediately consequent to the Lord's coming again, there will be immediately consequent to that upward calling, there will be that occasion when there will be the evaluation of our service, and there will be reward that will be given for faithful service. But when we think about what this prize really has in view, I am sure that we would all readily confess that this is a prize that we have not merited. This is, none of us are remotely worthy in ourselves of such a prospect as this. It's all in the riches of God's grace. It's all his divine work alone. And that is the theme through this Philippian epistle that Paul develops, that in the grace and in the goodness of God, he says in chapter 1, verse 6, that God has begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The God who began a work in us is the God who will perfect it. He will complete that work. And in the meantime, he says in chapter 2, verse 13, it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that's his present work, to produce in us greater conformity to his Son, because that is only what will bring good pleasure to the heart of God. So as he makes us more like Christ, it will be to his good pleasure. And then as to the final and the ultimate fulfillment of it all, he is going to accomplish that work. And so chapter 3, verse 21 says, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so none will be able to oppose or obstruct that work that God is doing in each one of us. So we look forward to the prize. We look forward to the prospect of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we recognize it's all of his grace. It's not something that we have merited. And it is all God's working in us, a divine work of grace. And so we give God thanks that in his goodness, he ever set his purpose upon us to make us like his Son. He's the God who has saved us. Paul says there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given to us in Christ before the world began. And so from our perspective, that salvation began with that holy calling. God called us to himself, and Christ laid hold upon us, and it will be brought to a conclusion. It will be brought to a consummation with this high calling, this upward calling, the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. So God's purpose in grace, it will only be finally satisfied when heaven is populated by many redeemed believers who are all like God's own Son, conformed to his image. That is when God will be satisfied, when heaven is filled with those who are like his Son. That is when Christ will be satisfied. That is when he, as Isaiah 53 says, he will see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. And only then will we be eternally satisfied. And so, let us not be satisfied with anything less now than making progress towards this final prize. That's what the exhortation of this passage is. Let us not be finding our satisfaction in anything that this world would seek to distract us with, that would seek to inhibit our spiritual progress. But let us have the kind of spiritual purpose and the ambition and the direction expressed here in Philippians 3 by the Apostle Paul, so that every day as we live our lives as believers, we press toward the prize of greater conformity to Christ, as every day we would be looking to Christ as our ultimate prize in view of his soon coming, when he will come and he will take us to be with himself. So may God challenge our hearts by these things, and may God bless his word to us.